Proverbs chapter 7. We're going to do kind of an end of the year and beginning of the year. Next week, Ben will start a series on the new year. But I want to do this one. It's called, At the Window of My House, I Look Down. Now, this is Solomon, and he's sitting on his porch. How many has ever sat on your porch? He's just sitting on his porch, and he's looking. And here's what he says. At the window of my house, I look down through the lattice. I saw among the simple, got any simple people here today? I noticed among the young men a youth who had no sense. Have you ever met one of those? He was going down the street near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house. At twilight, as the day was fading, as the dark of the night set in. Notice when it was. Then out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a woman that normally doesn't come to church. So we have young people in here today, so that's how I'll kind of do it. And with crafty, and she is unruly, defiant, her feet never stay at home. Now in the street, now in the squares, and every corner she lurks, she's everywhere. All at once he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose, till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. Now then, my sons, this is Solomon talking to his sons. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Pay attention to what I say. Do not let your heart turn to her ways or stray into her paths. Many are the victims she's brought down. Her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is a highway to the grave leading down to the chambers of death. All right, now go chapter 8. And this is what he says. Here's he's talking. This goes together with what he says. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? At the highest point along the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gate leading into the city at the entrance, she cries aloud, To you, O people, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. You who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, set your hearts on it. Listen, for I have a trustworthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true, for my lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just. None of them is crooked or perverse. To the discerning of all of them are right. They are upright to those who have found knowledge. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than a choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. I want to talk to you this morning about killing time. Everybody say killing time. Isn't that a strange phrase we have? Killing time. The old guy that was on Fox News that got canned, he wrote a bunch of books called Killing Jesus, Killing Lincoln, Killing Washington, Killing America, all that. And I just thought about that phrase, killing time. What are you doing? I'm just killing time. I'm just killing time. So I want to talk to you about killing time today. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you. You're worthy, Lord, of all of our effort and all of our desire and all of our planning that we want to do. Lord, you are worthy of it all. We give you the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Look at somebody, say, don't kill time. Would you say, don't stop killing time. Stop killing time. Okay, I got a video I want to show you. This is going to take some of you. The other day, I should show this video. The other day, I was talking to my five-year-old grandson, Ryland. He's in here. And we were talking about, I work a lot on tractors and stuff, so my hands get kind of rough. And he said, no, Miss Baba, the reason your hands are rough is because you're old. Well, I said, well, how old is old? He said, 62 is old. And then he said, I'm going to play this one now. We do a marriage seminar. He said, well, Miss Mama's hands are rough also. And he said, well, no, she's not rough. Girls' hands are soft. They're always soft. He bribed her, so as far as I know. But what this is, I don't know where I got off on that. This is something all the old people will remember, a television show called I Have a Secret. How many remember the old show called I Have a Secret? Few of you do? Okay, watch this one. We're going to do a takeoff on it. Watch this.
Now, may we have our next contestant, please. Now then, Pamela, we're not going to give you this gentleman's name, for if you were to know his name, you would possibly know his secret. So we will call him Mr. X. And Mr. X, if you'll whisper your secret to me, the folks at home would like to share it. Wait a minute. to help classify Mr. X's rather lengthy secret, it concerns something that he did, and Daisy, we'll start with you.
Mr. X, would we be interested in knowing when you did this?
When?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Was it recently?
No.
Did it involve any other person or persons?
No.
Let me say this, that there were other persons...
Affected?
There were other persons involved and affected, although the secret as it is expressed concerns only Mr. X.
Ah. Would we be interested in knowing, did it get in the newspapers, Mr. X? Was it a newsworthy event?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Did you win some kind of honor for it, a medal or a...
No.
$20 down and $60 to go, and we go to Bill Cullen.
I have a terrible feeling by the laugh that came and by today... Now, don't buzz. I haven't asked the question yet. By the fact that today is New Year's and it's the Rose Bowl game, were you in a Rose Bowl game, sir?
Yes. Yeah.
Did you write a letter to a young fella in... a young football player about a month ago telling him not to worry about something he had done that it hadn't hurt you?
Yes, I did.
Certainly hasn't hurt you, I'll say that.
It has not.
Well, I think I ought to pass and help you get the $80 because it's about time that this paid off for you.
Well, I'll tell you what I would like to do. One thing it has done is develop this sense of humor, I'll tell you. $40 down and $40 to go. And I would like now to go to Jane. And Jane, I'll give you all kinds of hints because I know you haven't the faintest idea what we're talking about.
Oh, she's a sports
now, game. Wait just one now, this... moment. Does it have anything to do with a touchdown?
No.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
All right, it's up for grabs. Panel, who wants it?
All right, Henry. I take a week. Did you run the wrong way?
Yes. That's right.
Yes. This is a very famous man, Mr. Roy Riggles, and he was an All-American center for California, and in the 1929 Rose Bowl game, Georgia Tech, the opponents, fumbled the ball. Roy recovered it. Now, he spun around to avoid a tackler, and suddenly he found himself facing an open and empty field straight ahead, so he started running. Because for once, here was a center carrying the ball, and he meant to make good on this thing. Now, here's a picture of Roy rushing down the field, being frantically followed by his own teammates who are shouting, Roy, come back! You're going the wrong way! Now, Roy, what happened? What finally stopped you? How were you finally stopped from making crossing your own goal line?
Well, my teammate Ben Lom called to me quite a few times. I was running the wrong way, and I couldn't understand it. And finally, he caught me and grabbed me by the jersey and spun me around. And at that time, the Georgia Tech boys all piled on top of me.
Well, I want to tell you this. See, you've been living with this peculiar story now for 30 years. How do you usually answer people when they ask you why it happened?
Well, I don't tell them why it happened. I still think that I was doing the right thing.
I'm for you. That's the way to start 1958. Make a decision and stick with it. Here is your money, sir, that you have won, and your pardon of Winston. Thanks ever so much for being with us.
Right on.
Bye.
You notice he got a pack of Winston cigarettes. You saw this. It was years before they knew, they were wrong. Okay, let's watch the actual. They have a footage of this. Let's watch the actual play. Watch this. 1929 Rose Bowl, national championship game.
In celebration of the 100th Rose Bowl game, a memory.
The most famous play by a center in Rose Bowl history led to defeat for his team. The 1929 game, Cal's Roy Riggles recovered a fumble and ran 65 yards the wrong way before a teammate wrestled him to the ground at the one. A blocked punt led to a safety, an 8-7 Georgia Tech win, and a dubious place in history for Roy Riggles.
The 100th Rose Bowl game on ESPN.
Now, if you think only college players can do this, watch here is a pro player doing it. Watch this.
Stops, throws, completes it to Kilmer up at the 30-yard line. Kilmer driving for the first down, loses the football. It's picked up by Jim Marshall, who's running the wrong way. Marshall is running the wrong way, and he's running it into the end zone the wrong way. Thinks he scored a touchdown. He scored a safety. His teammates were running along the far side of the field, Russ, trying to tell him to go back.
Let's call these people directionally challenged. Can we say that? That would be a good word to use today. The young man in Proverbs that we read about was the same situation. He was directionally challenged. He was just walking along, but he was going in the wrong direction. And many people are directionally challenged in life that I've talked to over the last 40 years. In other words, they have no goals. They don't have any place they're really going. They have no plans in their life to get anywhere. They just walk along and let life lead them where it goes. And they get in situations where they have to make decisions. And many times they end up making the wrong decision, ending up going in the wrong direction. And they would, because they have no goals in life, they're just killing time, is what I like to use this morning. And Solomon is sitting on his porch and he's watching a young man that's just meandering around. He's in the wrong place at the wrong time, going in the wrong direction. And so one of the keys is a story. He tells this story because he wants his sons to know it is important to know where you're going. Somebody say, I need to know where I'm going. Can you imagine leaving here today and not having any plans to go anywhere and you just get in your car and take off? Where do you go? Do you go left or right out of the parking lot? And then when you end up on that, where do you go? Left or right? You go, And so Proverbs 8 talks about wisdom, and he describes it like a woman that's standing on every corner and calling out to all of mankind, you that are simple, call on me. I will give you direction. I'll give you a goal in life. I'll give you plans for your life. The foolish man meanders around. He doesn't, places where he doesn't belong, goes in directions he shouldn't go. And I like to call this the path principle, because we know that in driving, depending on the direction you're going is the destination you're going to end up at. When you're driving, depending whether you go left or right out of this parking lot, it will determine the destination that you end up at. And the same thing is true in your life. You're ending 2017, and you're going to be taking some directions in your life, and it will determine your destination, where you're going. So what road are you taking at the end? We know that in driving it happens. And it's like this. You know, if I left Baton Rouge and I got I-10 west, how many know I will not end up in New Orleans? I may end up in Houston, but I will not end up in New Orleans. And so one of the keys is determining where you want to go next year. What do you want to do? Where do you want to go next year? The direction we're going will determine the destination we arrive at. That's the path principle. It works in driving. It works in your life. So you have to determine where you want to go. If you're just going to meander through life financially, morally, spiritually, with your family, if you have no destination in mind, well, it won't matter where you go. Yogi Berra once said, you ought to be, that great theologian, Yogi Berra, he said, you got to be careful if you don't know where you're going because you might not get there. Where do I want to go? Where do I want to go for 2018? Where do I want to go? Too many people don't know where they're going, and they're like the foolish young man in Proverbs. They speak, they have no specific destination in mind. They're just, meandering. Where do you want to go? Well, if you're here, that means most of you want to do what God wants you to do and go where God wants you to go next year. And so the good news is He knows the direction for your life. Ephesians 2 and verse 10 says it this way. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Watch this. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance. Everybody say in advance. That means God's got works that He has prepared for you to do. He has already in advance got those ready. So for 2018, there are things that God has planned for your life. And so if you want to have something, a successful 2018, find out the works that God has prepared for you in advance. Find out what God has prepared for you individually. God has already planned out the direction of your life, which has already been prepared for you. Luke, Proverbs 8 and verse 1 through 6, let's read it again because it's real important. It says, does not wisdom call out to you for 2018? Does not understanding raise her voice for you in 2018? At the highest point along the way, where the path meets, she takes her stand and calls out to you. beside the gate leading into the city at the entrance, she cries out aloud, "To you, O people, I call out, I raise my voice to all mankind. You are simple, gain prudence. You are foolish, set your hearts on it. Listen, for I have trustworthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right." And God's got things to say to you this year. And the key is, God will give you wisdom for 2018. That's why beginning next Sunday, it is so important to take time at the beginning of your year and seek God. Everybody say amen. Seek God, because James 1 verse 5 says it this way, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." Listen, God wants to give you His insights for your life for 2018. God's got a destiny for you. We know that if we set our hearts on the destination, if we forge ahead direction, there's a lot of things that you might have gone in a direction, you will not go in a direction. There's a lot of things you might have allowed in your life, you will not allow in your life. There's some things that you might end up doing that you will not do if you set your heart on wisdom to gain it from the Lord. I know Philippians 3:13, Paul wrote, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead." There is something that happens when you've set your heart to do what God wants you to do. Wouldn't it be fantastic if Jesus would sit down with each one of us and counsel us about what happened in 2017 and then give you counsel for 2018? Did you know that He did do that? And it's found in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. He went to seven churches, and I believe there are churches for all time, and He gave each one of those churches counsel about where they were and where they were going. And I want to give them to you, and I don't want you to write them down, because I want you to take either one or two of these this year and say, "That's for me. That's mine." I'm just going to summarize in two or three little words what the whole message was to that church and his recommendation for going ahead. And let me give it to you. It's found in this. The first one was the Ephesian church. He told them, he says, "Love me more." That was a condensed version. "Love me more." They were better at enduring than endearing. They were working hard, but they'd lost their love for the Lord. And so maybe that's you this year. Maybe in 2017 that was you. You worked hard, but you felt your love for the Lord wane. And so the counsel to this church was, "Love me more. I appreciate everything that you're doing, but become more intimate with me this year." Number two was Smyrna, and that was, "Hang in there." We should have had that one last year, you know, during the flood year. But it was, "Hang in there." And Smyrna would go through terrible persecution. Some would be imprisoned. Some were going literally to prison for it. And Jesus, the summary of his message to the church at Smyrna was, "Hang in there." And one of the ways to hang in there is, sometimes you got to look at your problems in perspective. You know, when you see other things around the world, it helps you understand that what we go through is really light affliction, which the Apostle Paul talked about. Number three was the church at Pergamon, was keep your eyes open. A lot of us, and literally was talking about not hearing the wrong things and getting the wrong perspective. Let me just say some things. The culture we live in, and I've told you this before, if you are a middle of the road, if you're one of those people that say, "Well, I'm not extreme, and I'm not, you know, way over yonder on the other side. I'm just sort of a middle of the road kind of guy or girl." The problem with that is God's standard never moves. But the standard and the morality of the world keeps going further and further and further. And if you're a middle-of-the-road guy, guess what? You may have started out in your Christian walk over here, but now, really, staying in the middle, you're bound over here somewhere. And so one of the keys is you've got to learn to keep your eyes open and not buy into everything that's said and understand that. So you need to do that. Number four is check your associations, the Church of Thyatira. They had tolerated relationships. They were more feared. They more feared rejection than deception, because they wouldn't say what needed to be said. How many know there's just sometimes somebody ought to say something? You ever been in an elevator and somebody just ought to say something, or on a bus and things are being said, or in a restaurant listening overheard? Somebody ought to. You know that somebody ought to be is you. Come on, somebody. So you need to check your associations. You need to check who you're running around with. You know, the old deal was about, you know, if you sleep with dogs, you're going to get what? Fleas. And so you need to understand, you need to check your associations this year, because Bad company corrupts good morals. Number five was the church at Sardis, and he told them to wake up. They were living on reputation rather than revelation. They were just, you know, I've been a Christian for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and now I'm living on reputation rather than revelation. So the key to that church was wake up. That was his counsel. That was him sitting down and talking to them about their year and about going into the new year. Wake up. The sixth one was take it to the next level. The Philadelphia church was a progressing church. And they were pressing forward. His encouragement was take it to the next level. And one of the best things you ought to do the rest of the day is reflect on 2017. Talk about the things you did, maybe in your business, maybe in your spiritual life, maybe in your family, maybe in physically, maybe it's your physical body. And then see what you can do to take it to the next level in 2017. What can you do to take it to the next level in 2017? And then the last one was the Laodicea church, and that was the capsule of the message would stay on fire. Maybe some of you begin to cool down. They'd lost their fire. And he literally just said, stay on fire. And the big question would be this morning, what if I've made bad decisions in 2017? What if I've come to 2017 and I look back now over this year and realize that I've made bad decisions? I haven't included God in my plans. I made a lot of plans. Anybody ever made a plan and found out later on you didn't include God in it? And then, I mean, you bought it and you wanted to buy it, and then after you bought it, you wish you hadn't bought it. Come on, somebody. Or you went a road, or you made a decision, and you realize that's a bad, looking back, that's a bad decision. What if I messed things up so badly that there doesn't seem to be any way of fixing them? I love what Isaiah 44 says. Listen to what it says. Remember these things, Jacob, for you, Israel, are my servant. I have made you, you are my servant, Israel. I will not forget you. I have swept away your offenses like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. I love this phrase. This phrase again. I have swept away your offenses like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Draw near to God, and he'll do what? I love what James said. Look what James said here. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you were the simpleton that meandered through 2017. And you ended up maybe in places you shouldn't have been. You ended up not having the Lord in your plans, and you made decisions and moves and did things or said things or bought things or sold things that you if you'd asked God, it would have been different. And so one of the keys is if any of you lacks wisdom for 2017, you didn't have wisdom, you didn't ask God for it, you should ask God. Well, I don't know. He's probably upset with me. He's probably, you know, who gives generously to all without what? Without what? Well, you didn't ask me for wisdom in 2018. I ain't going to give you no wisdom in 2018. You're taking on your own. He says he won't do that. He will not find fault. He won't come and say, you didn't ask me in 2017, so I'm not giving you. No, the Bible says he will who gives generously. Everybody say generously. Who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Let me tell you all you have to do. You have to ask. Just ask God for wisdom for 2018. And I love because God is the God of beginning, again, and the do-overs. How many like the do-overs? God is the God of the do-overs. He takes our failures and faults and removes them, replacing them with wisdom that's calling out on every street corner. That's calling out to all mankind, you that are simple, ask of me. I will give you prudence to the simple. I'll give you wisdom. And so James comes along and says, he won't find fault with you. He won't come to say, you never asked me before. Now you're in the mess. You clean up. You made your bed, sleep in it. He says, God won't do that. He'll give you wisdom on how to get. You ever ask directions and somebody told you can't get here, there, from here? And listen, that's the devil telling you that this morning. You can get where God wants you to be from where you are this morning. Everybody say amen. You know, Roy Riggles, who was the man on I've Got a Secret, his coach said this about him. He was the smartest, listen very carefully, he was the smartest college player I ever coached. He was All-American. He was an All-American. He went back, he was All-American. That was his junior year. His senior year, he led them to 7-1-1. His coach said he was the smartest player he ever coached. In fact, he went on to start his own business and did very well, wealthy for himself, and sold it and and lived a great life. And you ought to hear that. He ought to tell about life. He said, whenever I was walking around somewhere, he said, I had a hard time to begin with. He said, because whenever I heard anybody talk about, say, wrong way, he said, whether they were talking about me or not, I got bristled up. I mean, I just bristled up. And some of you are that way. If you just hear a certain word or a certain phrase or certain whatever, even if it's not talking about you, you get bristled up. And he, listen, how many know that smart people can go the wrong way? Doesn't mean you're dumb. Doesn't mean you're stupid. It just means you lack wisdom. And wisdom comes from asking God for wisdom. I know wisdom comes from experience and all this, but also there is a wisdom that only comes from asking God. Because he was the smartest player that coach at USC had ever coached. He said he's the smartest guy I ever. He was All-American. He was the smartest, hardest. You got to see, at halftime, this happened in the first half. At halftime, they all came in. And at the end of the halftime speech, the coach says, this team that started the game, they're going to start the second half. All the players filed out except Roy Riegels. He stayed on the bench inside the locker room. And the coach watched as everybody else filed out, and Roy Riegels just sits there on the bench. And the coach comes over to him and says, listen, he said, Roy, I know what you're going through. Come on, get out. And Roy said, I can't. He said, listen, I've ruined it. I can't go out there and face all those people. I can't go out there and face that other team. I can't go out there. And you know what he said? He said, Roy, the game's only what? The game's only half over. And you should see, Roy, they lost the game by 1 point. But that second half, I forgot how many tackles he made, how many sacks he did. His team would not have been anywhere close had Roy not gone back out. And let me just say something about your life. Listen, the game is only half over. I don't know where you're at. You might be, you know, way off in life. Let me tell you, you got eternity out ahead of you. The game is only half over. I don't care what you've done, what you're doing, what you're about to go into. The game is only half over. Everybody say amen this morning. Bow your heads, would you? Father, I pray for people here this morning that really are in a situation where they're facing things and need wisdom and direction from you. And I know that you let wisdom call out from every street corner, every nook and cranny. Call on me. I will give you generously. I won't find fault. I won't reprimand you. I won't belittle you for not asking it ahead of time. Ask me wisdom now. I don't know, Pastor. I'm in the midst of the problem. I don't know. Oh, yes. That's when you need wisdom. When would you ask for wisdom? Most of the time you'll ask when you're in the middle of the problem. And you're in the middle of the problem. And you say, but I feel like it's my fault. Well, yeah, it's your fault. But he won't find fault with that. He won't reprimand you for that. He just wants to generously give you wisdom because he put her at every corner and every cranny of every street, calling out to all mankind, you who are simple, call on me and I will give you wisdom. Whoever lacks it, call on me, ask of me wisdom, and I will give it to you generously, and I'll not find fault. I will give it to you. And so, Lord, we put our hearts before you this morning. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you've meant to us. But some of us, we're in bad situations. We're in situations where we need the wisdom of God in our life. We need you, Lord, to give us understanding. We need you. We call out to wisdom this morning. We call out to the God of wisdom. Lord, we ask of you wisdom from your hand for 2018. Thank you, Lord, for those things. Thank you for counseling us this morning. Thank you for speaking to us this morning. Thank you for wanting to do things with us. You've got plans for us in 2018. And we want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Lord, we want to do that. Not just well, it's done. Lord, well done. And we ask you, Lord, for wisdom now. I ask as a church for wisdom for 2018. I ask, Lord, for individuals in this place for wisdom for 2018, Lord. You've got works you've prepared before the creation of the world for me to do for 2018. And I pray for wisdom, Lord, to know and to put my hand to the plow and to know what it is. We thank you. We give you glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Give Lord a good clap offering this morning. Would you do that?